गोपीनाथ भगवान की श्री श्री गौर निताय की सीताराम लक्ष्मण हनुमान की श्री राम लीला कथा महोत्सव की निताई गौर ब्रह्मानंदे। ओम अज्ञान तिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानंजन शलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यामनोऽभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलम् श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं हरिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदा सहगणारता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्णकरुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तुते। तप्त काञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वंशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंदा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा हरे रामा राम राम हरे हरे। इन द श्रीमद् भागवतम यू कैन सी दैट परीक्षित महाराज इज लिसनिंग टू सुखदेव जी एंड एज द टाइम इज पासिंग इंस्टेड ऑफ गेटिंग टायर्ड एग्जॉस्टेड हंगरी थर्स्टी एंड स्लीपी हाउ मेनी थिंग्स आई सेड instead of getting tired, exhausted, hungry, thirsty and sleepy, he was completely oblivious to hunger, thirst and sleep and he was not exhausted. One more thing he was not distracted also. He was not seeing who has come, whether my guru is there, whether Vyas Muni is still attentive or not, whether Sukadev Suta Goswami has got up and gone away for some work. How many of the 88,000 people are still waiting? How much is the crowd at 2 p.m.? How much is at 5 p.m.? He was not at all distracted. And Sukadev was actually talking only for one person. Today we are waiting for everybody to come. There is not one patra for hearing. But in Sukadev Maharaj's katha, the patra was only one. That is Parikshit Maharaj. And rest everybody was, by the way, there, because anyway Lord Krishna's pastimes are going to be described, so they were there. But the most important factor to note, which always inspires me, is that Sukadev Goswami congratulating Parikshit Maharaj. So I just cannot imagine, as time is passing, you are getting more and more enthusiastic. Your enthusiasm and your questions and your eagerness is inspiring me to speak more. How does a speaker speak? What are the requirements for a speaker to speak?
Enthusiasm of audience.
Enthusiasm of the audience is the only impetus for the speaker to speak. He also has a desire to speak. But our experience is that the audience draws from the speaker what they need to hear. So katha is never best because the speaker is well prepared and is a good orator and is a very charismatic speaker. Katha is not successful because of that. Katha is successful when the audience are so much eager that they draw the best out of the speaker. The speaker may not be Sukadev or may not be Krishna like Arjuna had. But whatever is needed by the speaker, by the audience, by the person who is listening, for his own advancement that he wants to hear, is drawn by the audience. And you will see most of the times in the katha, some things which are never planned to be spoken are spoken by the speaker. And the audience understand, I had this question a couple of days back and now this is answered. So we should not consider spiritual discourse as an ordinary prepared, you know, ratified lecture. It is never so. It should not be actually. It should be always from the core of the heart. There could be preparation, there has to be preparation as a matter of austerity, as a matter of putting your efforts for upliftment of others, there has to be preparation. But more so, it is a dialogue between the two hearts, not between two brains and not between 2 years, I mean 4 years. It is not like that. It is a dialogue between two or more hearts only. And if you are transgressing from the level of heart to the brain or to the ears, you can stand up and try to make it at the level of heart again. What do we do when there is a feedback? Immediately go and correct it and keep it proper, right? What do you do when it is loud? Is sound is loud? Immediately you put it slow. What do you do when it is low? You put it high. That means you are constantly focused on that. So like that, you have to promise me that you will be focusing to keep it on the level of heart. When you will remain at the level of heart, I will remain at the level of heart. If you go on the level of brain or ears, then I don't know where I will go. Because I will love to remain at the level of heart. And then there is kathayantap tas mam tubhyam me bodhayast. What is that? Mam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. When that tushyanti cha ramanti cha will happen? When there will be dialogue between the two hearts. Tushyanti, your thirst will be satisfied. Ramanti, you will become blissful. Because the soul will get nourished. So there are five holes and you want the liquid to go in only one hole. There is a ladies, they are using that, no? When they fry batata vadas, there is a spoon which has many holes. Suppose you have a spoon which has five holes and on central hole you have to put that liquid which you want to put. How much concentrated you should be? And if you are not, so much liquid is there, it will go in other holes and some will go in only the central hole. Something like that happens in katha. If you are not focused, then so many things go above head, so many things go below head, and so many things go away somewhere else. And little bit, it attentively, when we are listening, it goes in the heart. This is true for me also, I'm not talking about you. When we are in audience, the same challenges are there for us. To remain awake, to remain attentive after remaining awake. Then after remaining attentive, to grasp what is being spoken. Then after grasping what is being spoken, there is a level of realization. Oh, yeah, this is what I wanted to understand. Now I understand, at this context, how this is the fact. Right inside the heart it goes and it clicks you, practically in your life. Oh yes, this is what I wanted to know actually. And now I understand how it is like this. Oh yes, yesterday I was insulted and today I understand. Yes, yes, this is for my purification. So, what gopis are saying, taptavakathamritam taptajivanam. All our lives are burning. And you are telling me that she has tap today. Everybody's life is full of tap. Constantly in tap. The this tap or that tap. Vivid tap is already available for us. But gopis are saying that we are also burning in your separation. We don't know where you are. We want you, but you are not there. So we are suffering. But when we are remembering you, the pain of suffering is reducing. So what they would do when Krishna was not there? They would always imitate or enact the leelas of Krishna in the drama. Oh, see how he became Krishna dancing on Kaliya. Somebody will become Kaliya, then he will dance. And somebody will become ladies of the wives of Kaliya and they will plead to Krishna. And somebody will faint as Ashoda. They will actually perform all those activities which Krishna used to perform in Vrindavan. Like we all see the drama, we are actually in the activity, we are in the leela. So like that they have spent hundreds of years when Krishna went to Mathura in performing those pastimes, enacting them. And that's how they were somehow managing to subdue their pain and burning separation. But that also became too much in the end. Then Krishna had to come in the name of killing Dantavakra. And then he had to take everybody back to Godhead. He took everybody to Golok Vrindavan. Lifted them on a Viman and took them to Golok Vrindavan. To that point he brought them. That now they will not live any one more moment also. Enough of trying to pacify their own burning anger, burning separation. So point is that Krishna Katha, Ram Katha, Gaur Katha are all the panacea of cure for our sufferings in the material world. We must have faith in that. It is never a entertainment. I will say it is also an entertainment, but it is never only entertainment. When it goes to the level of the mind, it becomes entertainment. So we don't want to restrict it at the level of mind just to amuse or entertain ourselves. We should hear the Katha of the Lord as the method of purifying our heart. And by the way, don't worry, bliss will be there, entertainment will be there, and everything else that you want will be there. But it's panacea cure. It doesn't only nourish the soul, it gives pleasure to the mind, to the brain, to the ears, to the body, to everything else. It satisfies you completely because it is not different from the Lord. As the name of the Lord, it is form of the Lord, Leela of the Lord, Dham of the Lord are not different from the Lord. So do you all promise me?
Reverse.
Those who are taking support of wall, be more careful. Because the wall is very friendly to you. So today when I was dressing up, actually I was since morning I was thinking today is Ram Navami actually. For little time only I remembered the 2nd October. But most of the time my feeling is Ram Navami only. It's a festival day, I was thinking. So then I was thinking that actually festival is never on the calendar actually. Festival is always in the heart. Is that right?
Yes.
2nd October, 15th October, everything can be turned into a festival, provided you are on that consciousness, you know. And if a festival can be reduced to 2nd October also. By our consciousness. It's a very big festival and you are in the total different consciousness. You can be on 26th January also. On that day. On Janmashtami of Krishna or on the birth of Lord Ram. So consciousness is very important. For every single thing, what matters is consciousness. Everything else is secondary. What she has cooked for prasad today is secondary. What are the items, are they liking to my liking? Are they for my liking or not? Or are they Punjabi because they are from Delhi? Or it is South Indian because I am South Indian? Or it is focused at which person when they are making the items? These are not important things. Important thing is Krishna prasad. Whatever is served, is it Krishna prasad? That is important. Is it offered to Krishna with love and devotion? Is it made with love and devotion? That is what is the most important. So in every single thing, you can go to that essence and try to get that essence. Every single thing in life, whatever you do, come to the root, understand why this is there. It is Sunday morning, the 2nd October morning. You can do so many things. You can sleep. The foremost of all things. You can sleep. You can go to some relative. Or you can do something, whatever you like. But you have spared your time and you have come here specifically to hear Ram Katha. So how much we should be focused to hear that, for which we are spending our time, investing our time, getting ready, getting children ready, getting things ready, working out everything around that program. So this is called as Bhumika. I have just tried to create a Bhumika. I have just tried to create a Patra in which the elixir of transcendental ambrosial nectar of Ram Katha can be poured into and cannot spill out of that, can remain in that. And that Patra is the Patra of heart. So long back there were 3 Mahasatis from spiritual world. They went to Shvetadvipa to visit the Lord. And somehow or other the 4 Kumaras were also there at that time visiting Shvetadvipa Lord. And they just happened to forget to offer pranams to 4 Kumaras. Just they knew that they are great souls, but somehow it happens sometimes. The Shvetadvipa standing Kumaras immediately cursed these 3 Mahasatis that you will go on earth and take human bodies. And they were damn disturbed. We are not disturbed. We are already on earth, already human body, already so many years. We are not disturbed. We are so comfortable here. But they were very disturbed. Now we have to become human beings on earth. our bodies will smell bad. Birth, old age, disease, death will affect us. Trivita tap will affect us. We'll become hot and cold so many times. So, immediately Shvetadipa Lord came out and told them, it is not a curse, it is a blessing. Because three of the most prominent another Mahasatis will take birth from your womb. You will be the medium through which these three great personalities, ladies, will take birth. They are my internal potencies, they will appear. So one of them appeared as Sunayana or Menaka. That Menaka is different from this Menaka. This Menaka is not from this Vargaloka which Indra has. This is different Menaka. This Menaka got married to the personality of Himalaya mountain. And the great personality of Parvati Devi was born. Then another one is also called as Naina or called as Ratnamala. And she got married with Dasharat Maharaj. Sorry, Janak Maharaj. And she gave birth to Sita. And third one was Kalavati Devi, who got married with Suchandra. And in next lifetime, as Vrishabhanu Maharaj and Kirtida gave birth to Radharani. Gave birth means they actually received Radha as their daughter. Radharani and Sita Devi are not born. They were offered as gift. When Janak Maharaj was ploughing his field for Ashwamedha Yajna, at that time he was ploughing the field, and in the groove of earth called Sita, a beautiful girl was found. Because she was available from the groove of earth, which is called Sita, she was named as Sita. And about Radharani, there are different versions. At different kalpas, she was appearing in different ways. So, one of the kalpas, she appeared in the lotus, golden lotus, in the kund of Vrishabhanu Maharaj. And not only in one place, in different places, different times, she appeared in different places. Sometime in Raval, sometime in Bhanokhar, sometime in Priyakund, sometime also on the mountain of Sriji. Various kalpas he was appearing in different ways. And also, when one time Vrishabhanu Maharaj in another kalpa was ploughing his field for Ashwamedha Yajna, even Radharani was found in one kalpa from the ground. So these three, how this story came into discussion now? Because Sita Devi was born like that. Okay. Then comes the story how Lord Ramchandra appeared. Long time back, Dasharatha got married with Kausalya, Kaikeyi, Sumitra, and many more queens. And many years passed. Dasharatha was so virtuous, so powerful, so chivalrous, and such a pure devotee of the Lord, that every kingdom or every place or every bhumi, desh, has to undergo a period of Shani. That is called as Sadasati or whatever you may call. But Shani has to come in cycle to affect your kingdom and to affect people in the kingdom and to affect time in the kingdom. But Dasharatha Maharaj was such a pure devotee of the Lord that by his prowess of chivalry and by his prowess of devotion, Shani could not contaminate Ayodhya. It's a very unique thing. He restricted Shani to ever affect his kingdom. And this went on for many years. Like, see, my turn came and I was not allowed. Next turn came and not allowed. Third turn came, not allowed. It's like many times his time came and he was not allowed to affect the Ayodhya. But after long time of long turns, at one turn Shani thought, I must enter now, it's enough, you know. I must do my duty. And Dasharatha Maharaj came to know that Shani is approaching on Ayodhya. So Dasharatha Maharaj immediately rose on a chariot, effulgent like millions of suns, took his weapons, charged against Shani. Shani also came, and there was a big battle in the skies. Very fierce battle. Shani is not an ordinary personality, very, very powerful. And the battle went on for a long time. And so much, all the demigods collected in the sky is watching that fight. And suddenly, Shani released a weapon in such a way, in between, that Dasharath Maharaj became unconscious and actually fell from the chariot in the sky. So he fell down and he was coming down with great speed on earth. At that very moment of time, Jatayu, the vulture entity, came running and went with speed of wind under Dasharath Maharaj. Before he was falling, he went below that. Maybe then higher speed than Gurutvakarshan also, right? He is falling with the speed of Gurutvakarshan and he went higher than that speed and spread his wings and caught Dasharath Maharaj in between and then caught him down very beautifully on the ground, nursed him, brought him back to consciousness. At that time Dasharath, when he became conscious, was very angry. Jatayu, why you did this? Should have let me die. Why you allowed me to be like this? And again he rose and again he jumped and appeared in front of Shani. Fight. And Shani was so impressed. Somebody who is knocked down by me also can have the courage to stand again in front of me. I really appreciate. Immediately Shani called off the war and said, no more fight. I declare I will not come to your kingdom. I will not affect your people and your bhumi. And thus, Dasharath was successful in his purpose of preventing Shani to affect Ayodhya. So then, Dasharath told Jatayu that you are so dear friend. Of course, they were already dear friends before also. And Jatayu was observing the battle. So that's why he could immediately come to rescue. So at that time, Dasharath said, whenever I will get child, I will offer him to you. And this was not known to anybody. And so many years passed after marriage and no child was there. Then maybe it is said that after 85-90 years of age, Dasharath Maharaj performed a Putra Kameshti Yajna. Putra Kameshti. With the desire of having a Putra, he performed a Yajna. And they wanted to have a personality who is Akhand Brahmachari and was never seen at a woman with lust. So I heard that they got hold of Gokarna. You know Gokarna? The story of Gokarna? In Srimad Bhagavatam Mahatmya, we recite that story of Gokarna. The fruit was given to the wife and wife did not eat the fruit and the wife gave the fruit to the cow. And the cow gave birth to a human boy, human child, but with the ears of cow. So he was brought as one of the priests and that particular yajna became successful and in the course Kausalya Devi was given half of the kheer prasad of the yajna and half was given to Kaikeyi and both of them out of great affection gave their half of portion to Sumitra Devi and in the course of time Sumitra Devi conceived two children, Kaikeyi 1 and Kausalya 1. Also it is described that when this distribution of the kheer prasadam was going on, at that time a crow came and snatched some part of it and flew in the sky. And at that time Anjani, the wife of Kesari, at Anjaniya Parvat in Hampi area in South India, was praying to the Lord for having a child. And in her hand that kheer fell and she ate the kheer. So she also got a child called Hanumanji. And Ram was born to Kausalya and Bharat was born to Kaikeyi and Lakshman and Shatrughna were born to Sumitra Devi. At that time, the whole city of Ayodhya, kingdom of Ayodhya became so jubilant. They started sprinkling waters of scented nature everywhere. They started distributing sweets on the elephant. They started putting festoons everywhere, pataka, started distributing sweets. Started singing songs, started putting flowers on their house, they fired rangoli on their every house step. And the whole city was, you know, jubilant and vibrant with happiness that finally our dear King Dasharath has received a son. Such a glorious occasion. And everybody was so happy. And in the kingdom, in the palace, all the queens were very happy. They received their sons and they were ready to celebrate. And suddenly Dasharath gets up, picks up the child from Kausalya without talking to anybody, just starts moving. So they are all surprised. What is happening? Why? Why the king has taken away the child? And to add to their surprise and to fear of their mind, they saw a big white vulture sitting at the border of Ayodhya city. Now seeing a vulture or seeing a gidad on the auspicious occasion is not a good thing. Whenever you see gidad, there is always death or some disaster. It's always owl or gid. They are all evil. You cannot have darshan of them when you are about to get married or about to go for a war or something like that. So when at the birth of Lord Ramchandra, suddenly a gid appeared, was like a mountainous size, white colored. And plus this fellow is lifting the baby and going away. So just put everybody in puzzle completely. They were all confused and bewildered, also feeling sorry. What is there in store for us? At last, after such a long time, our king is getting a son and something inauspicious is happening. So the king just left, came all the way out of the city and met Jatayu. He said, here is my son. As per my promise, Raghukul ki aisi reet chali aayi, pran jai vachan na jai. I have come to fulfill my word. Please take this child. So Dushai was so happy, so pleased, because the war must have taken so many years back, Even if it is that he has forgotten, he could have been forgiven for that also. He could have been reminded also. Everything was all right. But Dasharatha Maharaj is such a personality, such a virtuous personality. You can imagine such a long awaited child has come finally. And you can't even enjoy the company of the newborn child. And he's been taken away by somebody else, Jatayu was so happy. He said, I am a vulture. I don't know how to rear human children. I don't have any facility to raise this human child. So keep this child with you only. And whenever he will become big, you can again offer to me. He's like, I want ready-made child. I want a grown-up, full-grown child. Independently managing child. Not that I have to manage the child. So then Dasharatha Maharaj got the child back. And when he comes back, everybody is so happy that then he declared what happened actually. This was the story behind it. I had to fulfill my word. Now we will raise this child. In the course of time, Vasishtha Muni appeared. The children grew. So many nice stories. The Lord Ramchandra, when he was crawling with his ankle bells in the courtyard of Dasharatha Maharaj, how the mothers would visualize him. Great saintly personalities have written songs about it. How Lord Ramchandra would crawl, how would attempt to stand, how his ankle bells will make sound, how he will fall down, again he will stand, how Mother Kausalya giving hand, giving finger, how they are training the supreme personality of Godhead to walk. One who makes the whole world walk, one who maintains the whole universe, one who creates the whole universe, one who is looking after the welfare of the universe. He is being taught how to talk. He spoke the whole science of bhakti to Arjuna and to Brahma and to Sun God and to so many people. He is being taught how to talk. He has been taught how to walk. He has been fed. One who is a poshan karta, vishwambhar. One who maintains the whole universe. Feeds everybody in the universe. He is being fed by the loving hands of Mother Kausalya. And so also Lakshman, and so also Bharat, and so also Shatrughna also. All these glorious children were growing very beautifully. And definitely enough, the eldest man, Sri Ramchandra, was the most mature. He grew as the most mature, most understanding, most composed, most virtuous, most adjusting with everybody, favoring others over himself. That was his nature. Even when they would learn shooting arrows and they had to make the fruits fall from the tree, and then count how many I have shot and how many are my mangoes. At that time, when they were about to fight, who had shot how many mangoes and how many mangoes belonged to each of them, Lord Ramchandra would say these are all your mangoes only. My arrows did not go in right direction. And he would offer those mangoes to other brothers to alleviate the fight. Even in childhood, he was like this. He was always very mature and always foreseeing that if I also continue with my mangoes and then my brothers will fight and there will be disunity. So immediately he would sacrifice his mangoes and tell these are all your mangoes. Because each mango would have the arrow attached to that. And he would say these arrows are yours, not mine. My arrows are not to be found. Like that he would teach his brothers by his example how unity is very important. And time grew up and it was time to go to forest, to Gurukul. And they went to Vasishtha Muni ashram and they learnt all the 18 vidyas from the Guru. And they became expert in all the weapons, all the shastras, all the nitis, all the rajshastra, everything they become very experts. And Lord Ramchandra grew to be a best of amongst all these four. At the age of 12, Dasharatha Maharaj was relishing the beautiful childhood of Ram, Lakshman, Bharat, Shatrughna. All the wives were enjoying the company of their growing children. And how virtuously they were growing, you know. It's just one thing to see child growing, another thing to see child growing in the beautiful virtues and qualities, and everybody in Ayodhya were in praise for them. So such a joy for mothers to see. They were all enjoying the beautiful childhood, sweet pastimes of the Lord. And at that time Vishwamitra Muni came to bless the kingdom. And Vishwamitra Muni said, there are so many demons who are well trained and adept with all the Maya Vidya. There are so many astras, shastras, and so many mystical powers, and they are destroying all the yajna of all the sadhus in the jungle. And I have received complaints from forest. So I will like to take your children with me. So Dasharatha became almost unconscious when he heard this. He could not have even his eyes off Ram, Lakshman and his children. He could never tolerate not seeing them. He always wanted to be in front of their eyes. And going with the sadhu means it may take days, it may take weeks, it may take months, it may take years, we don't know. So Dasharatha was well aware that one should never disobey the orders of a sadhu. That is the culture of a king. You always follow the instruction. At the same time, he was so affectionate, so overwhelmed with vatsalya for Ramchandra and other children. He said that they don't even know how to lift weapons. Their hands are so komal. The weapons are so heavy. They are somehow able to lift. What to speak of using them, what to speak of being expert in them, what to speak of fighting with big, horrifying demons. Why to take them? I will come with you and I will bring my, some name was their army. I will bring my army with me and whichever demons are disturbing you, I will fight with them. But Vishwamitra Muni smiled a bit and he said, you with all your army will not be able to defeat all those demons which I am talking about. It is only Lord Ram and Lakshman can do this job. Again he argued, no, they are small children, they are just komal. They are still just 12 years old. But then Dasharatha understood that it is a desire of a sadhu, so I just cannot disobey him. And immediately Lord Ramchandra and Lakshman became ready, stood behind the Vishwamitra, about to leave with their bow and arrow. And the swords at the waist and bow and arrow. The quiver with arrows and bow. And they took the blessings of mothers and their father and left for forest with Vishwamitra. And Vishwamitra Muni was, you know his history. He was also a king before. And somehow he had some clash with Vasishtha over the Kamadhenu, that cow that he had. So that this cow is a source of problem for so many kathas in Puranas. Not one. There are so many demons, so many kings, so many. Everybody wanted that cow. But nobody could take that cow. So in the name of that cow, Vishwamitra Muni gave up his being king, gave up his Kshatriya position, and went to perform tapasya to become Brahma Rishi. He was Raja Rishi, but they said he is a Brahma Rishi, he is higher than you. That's why he defeated you. So many soldiers came from the legs of the Kamadhenu, and they defeated all the army of Vishwamitra as a king, and defeated Vishwamitra also. And there still soldiers were coming out. He was unable to understand what is happening. I am so powerful a king of the world, but this simple mere hermit, a sadhu, defeated me with the simple help of a cow. I want that cow. Then he was told, you can't get that cow. He's a Brahma Rishi. So I want to become Brahma Rishi. So he gave up the kingdom and performed tapasya for 60,000 years. Still it was broken by Menaka. And then Shakuntala, no, Menaka, and who was born? Dushyanta was born. Is that right? Shakuntala was born. Right? Shakuntala was born. Anyways, but again he went back, understanding his mistake. And then finally he became a great rishi, one of the Saptar Rishis. So at this time, moment of time, he was not in that mood of Kshatriya fighting and all those things. He was a great sadhu. So he took them to forest, and he told them so many stories. Sadhus, whenever they are with people, they are never keeping quiet. They are always worried, concerned about the welfare of the people who are with them. And they will always, always nourish them with their spiritual realization, with their love of the heart for the Lord. They will keep sharing. So all the way on the long way, Vishwamitra Muni was describing to them the stories of many sadhus, stories of Puranas, stories of great warrior kings who were devotees of the Lord, pastimes of the Lord. And Lord Ram and Lakshman, they were so happy and blissful to be with Vishwamitra Muni. And finally they came to a place where Sarayu River met Ganga at the confluence. And as soon as Sarayu River was meeting Ganga Devi at the confluence, that Bhumi, Vishwamitra Muni looked at and just laughed. So Lord Ramchandra said, what is there in this Bhumi that you saw and he laughed? So he said, this story, this place where Sarayu River is meeting Ganga is a very wonderful place. Why? Because at this place, the God of love, Kamdev, came with his wife Rati Devi, and Lord Shiva was performing his tapasya over here. And they thought that wherever we go, we shoot the arrows of love and afflict everybody in lusty activities and make them fall down and remain entangled in the pangs of the material world. They saw Lord Shiva sitting in meditation. They let us shoot the arrow. And they attempted to shoot an arrow of love, Kambaan, at Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva opened the third eye, and a shroth of fire came out of his third eye and just reduced Kamadev to ashes instantly. Kamadev lost his external body there. That is why he was named as Ananga, one who doesn't have Anga, and he is moving without Anga. So that is the place. That's why he said, I remember this story, that's why I laughed. The Kamadev did not understand the position of Lord Shiva and attempted to do his day-to-day activities with Lord Shiva also. You have to understand whom are you dealing with, you know. Whenever you are doing your duties also, you should be very careful. Although you are an expert, famous, successful, rich and elevated doctor, still, whenever you are doing duty also, you should understand whom are you dealing with, and accordingly we should deal with. So that's why he laughed. Then he further went ahead, and they used to spend the night and whole night, sometimes little late night, Vishwamitra Muni would go on talking about Lord's pastimes, and Lord Ramchandra and Lakshman would serve them, would pick up berries and pick up fruits from the trees in the forest, and we'd make sleeping asanas with leaves in the forest, make a shade of leaves, pick up bamboos and make a small hut wherever they would stay. And thus they would spend their time with Vishwamitra Muni days and days after. Finally they came to a place where the place, you know, vibrated with inauspiciousness. The place was very disastrous appearing. It was appearing very disastrous, very depressing, very discouraging, and there was dust and there was no clarity in the skies and it was all gloomy. So Lord Ramchandra said, this appears to be a very bad place. This is very inauspicious to be in. What is the reason behind it? So he told a story that there is a demoness which stays here. Her name is Taraka, and she is the daughter of a demon called Suketu. In fact, Suketu was not a demon. Suketu was a great personality. And she was a very, very beautiful daughter of King Suketu. And she was very, very powerful. She performed tapasya. Even being a woman, she performed tapasya for thousands of years and pleased Lord Shiva and got the boon from Lord Shiva that she will have the power of 1,000 elephants in her. And then she became proud and she was like disturbing everybody. And one time, then she got married with a person called Sunda. You heard about Sunda Upasunda? But this is different Sunda, not that Sunda Upasunda, which were harassing the demons. And then Lord Krishna, Vishnu became a beautiful girl and then behaved very romantically with both of them. But she was one, they were two. So then they said, whoever will win in the battle with one another, I will marry him. So they fought and they killed both of them, each other. So that's how the demigods were relieved of Sunda Upasunda. Anyway, this is a very old story we heard in childhood. But this Sunda was killed by Agastya Muni because he was disturbing them, doing some atrocities. So Agastya Muni, by his power of mantra, killed him. So this beautiful lady became so enraged that he has made me widow. So she came running with full power to attack Agastya Muni, to kill him. Agastya Muni just chanted few mantras. Agastya Muni never lifts a weapon. He just chanted few mantras and said, you will become the most ugly woman and you will become a demoness. So she became very ugly. Her body, which was very, very beautiful, became very ghastly, like mountainous, with big belly and big eyes and teeth coming out, you know, red hair and all kinds of things, very how the demoness are. And so you live on earth as a demoness. Thus she became demoness. And then wherever she stayed, she would eat sadhus and she would eat animals and she would eat all the things that create horror and austerities, atrocities, wherever she would live. So he said, this demoness must be killed. And that is why I have brought you over here. Lord Ramchandra, wherever he immediately heard about a woman, he was hesitant. And that is why he asked the history of the woman. If it was a man, male demon, he wouldn't have asked her so many questions. But he asked the history of this demoness because she was a woman. Why I have to kill her? Then Lord Ramchandra entered, went more close. He said, please show me the house of this demoness. They went close and he took his bow and he made a big twang of the sound, pratyancha. And that sound was so thunderous that all over the universe, the living entities got disturbed by that sound. And that sound disturbed and enraged the demoness. Who can dare and come and challenge me in my area? So she came out of her cave and there was a fierce battle. Vishwamitra and Lakshman were standing and Lord Ramchandra was shooting arrows. He just said that his arrow was only a circle because he had pulled it in such an extent, the only circle, and only rains and rains of arrows were seen coming out of that. How, when he would lift, when he would attach, when he would release, when he would pull, nobody could say anything. It was just only a circle, big circle was seen in the sky through which all the arrows were flowing. And still, Lord Ramchandra was not eating the final arrow because he was hesitant, because he was a woman. Again, Krishna also killed the demon first. It was a woman. Ramchandra also had to encounter first woman only. Finally, Vishwamitra said, you have to kill her. It is your duty for which you have come here. Otherwise, she will create harassment and atrocities for all the sadhus over here. So finally, Lord Ramchandra released an arrow, sparkling peak of that arrow. and shot her, and she banged on the ground, brought dead. So Taraka was killed. And Taraka was, you know, when the battle was taking place between Ramchandra and Taraka, all the demigods were standing in the skies, because she has harassed not only sadhus on earth, but she has harassed all the demigods. They were so much fearful that when we will see this end of this demoness. So as soon as Lord Ramchandra killed her, there were flowers showered by the demigods on Ramchandra, Lakshman and Vishwamitra Muni. And they were praising and they were singing songs, and apsaras were dancing in the skies in celebration of Taraka's death. And then Lord Ramchandra went further. Then there was rishis, they were performing yajna. And actually one thing I forgot to mention to you. She also had given birth to a son called Maricha. And when father was killed, both of them, they were very beautiful. Both of them came rushing towards Agastya Muni. And that time Agastya Muni cursed both of them that you will become demons and demonesses. So Maricha became demon and she became demoness. But she was killed. Then Maricha became very angry. He contacted Subhau, another big demon, because of whom all the demigods were fearful. So they were following Ramchandra, Lakshman and Vishwamitra Muni. And they approached an area where sadhus were performing a lot of yajnas. So when they approached there, these people also were approaching there from the skies. And what they did, they showered rains of pus, blood, urine and stool in all the yajnas. It was like bright sunny day became dark because of the showers of all these dirty things, inauspicious things. And sadhus were very disgusted. And they said, this is not today, this is every single day this is happening. We cannot perform yajnas here. Our life is miserable. We cannot worship the Lord here. And Lord Ramchandra witnessed. So immediately he challenged the demons. And Subhau came. All his fearful form. All the sadhus were running behind. And Vishwamitra Muni stood there and Lord Ramchandra started fighting with him. Again, there's a beautiful description of what kind of weapons they used and how he flew in the sky, how he became adrushya, invisible, how he took many, many forms, how he appeared on the west, appeared on the south, appeared on the upside, appeared down. And at times he would appear in many forms, at times he would appear at one form, at times he would become invisible, at times he would go on west side and south side and upside and down. And simply in all the conditions of his appearance and disappearances, there were showers of weapons falling. Boulders were falling. Mountain peaks were falling. Pus, urine, stool was falling. And so many divyastras were falling. It was a very indescribable fight. But finally Lord Ramchandra killed him. Subhau fell down. Maricha was struck with wonder. What kind of human being is this? They are our food. We eat them for breakfast and lunch. This person is killing Subhau. Killed my mother. So he also attacked out of anger. Lord Ramchandra picked up an arrow and shot at Maricha. And with that arrow, Maricha flew 800 miles in the sky and fell in the ocean. And went at the bottom of the ocean and remained unconscious for many, many, many days. When he woke up, he retired from being a demon. He took VRS. Said, no more being a demon. He was so scared. So scared. Because he just couldn't imagine himself to be flying 100 yojanas in the sky, you know. And being thrown into ocean. At the bottom of the ocean, unconscious for so many days. Just couldn't be imagining. And he became so fearful. His mother died, Subhau died in front of his eyes, but he didn't die, but his life became completely filled with fear. So much so that even if somebody would say "ra," he would be trembling with fear. He would tremble in fear. And he said, I don't want to go anywhere in front of anybody. I will just remain in my hut and perform tapasya and try to go back, end my life. So fearful. This was the story of Maricha. So then Vishwamitra Muni took them further. And he said, now we should go to Janakpuri. He said, why we should go to Janakpuri? He said, you must see the beautiful bow of Lord Shiva, which is there in the kingdom of Janaka, in Mithila. So then he narrated the story of that bow. He said, there was a king, Devavrata, who was the ancestor of Janak Maharaj, many, many generations before. You know, in the olden days, demigods would regularly visit the kingdoms on earth. Only it is rule of Kali Yuga, that the demons, the demigods are, by rule, they don't come down to earth. Till Dwapar Yuga, the demigods would come personally, accept the oblations of fire given by kings and given by sadhus and given by anybody else, of Ashwamedha, Gomedha, Rajasuya, whatever yagyas. Personally, they would come down, receive their oblations, their share, and they'll go. Now also they come, but they don't come in visible forms. They come down to accept the oblations from us, but not in visible forms, being Kali Yuga. So, Devavrata actually participated in the war against demons from the side of demigods. And he made them win the war. So demigods were very happy with him. They approached Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva, with great joy and great happiness, gave his bow to Devavrata. This is our gift to you. That bow was something like few hundreds of tons of kilos. It was so big. It was then brought down in the Vamsha, that is, king, his son, and his son, and his son. Then Raghu was born in that kingdom. And then Raghu was born in Lord Ramchandra's kingdom. Raghu Vamsha is Chandra Vamsha. Surya Vamsha. Lord Krishna is which Vamsha? So Ramchandra is which Vamsha? Surya Vamsha. Correct. You are right. So, in Janak was in Chandra Vamsha. Okay? So, in that kingdom, by hereditary rights, the bow remained in Janakpuri only. And then it came under the charge of Janak Maharaj. And Janak Maharaj had made a huge arena, not a hall, not a room. He had made a huge arena where he had kept that bow. It was very tall in size and so huge, so effulgent, so powerful, that 300 strong wrestlers would be required to effortfully, sweatingly move that particular bow. So this story was told by Vishwamitra to Lord Ramchandra, and Lord Ramchandra decided we should go. So they all went under the order of Vishwamitra Muni. And then they saw that as soon as he came, the king stood up, gave position to Vishwamitra Muni, worshipped him, washed his feet, offered sweet words, offered dakshina, offered fruits, and really worshipped and pleased him. Lord Ramchandra and Lakshman were standing. They were given asan by King Janaka. They were respected very well and nicely. And then Vishwamitra Muni was asked by Janak Maharaj, what is the purpose that you have come for? How can I serve you? So he said that, I have brought these two young princes of King Dasharath from Ayodhya to kill the demons and also to have the witness, eyewitness of this particular bow. So can they see that bow? So immediately ordered, the huge gate of that arena was opened, and he saw 300 men effortfully moving that arrow, that bow. And at that time, also they discussed, there is a declaration from my kingdom. When my daughter was born, the story of Sita's birth was narrated, how she was procured from the slit of earth. And that time Akashvani took place, which said that she is a consort of Vishnu and Vishnu will marry her in the course of time. So I was wondering how Vishnu will come. So I just thought that just make Vishnu come and suitably marry her. I thought I will make a rule, or whatever it's called, prana, kya bolte hain usko? Condition, or what is that? Condition, such a way, swayamvar condition, that whoever will lift this Shiva bow will become the husband of my daughter. So what happened was, so many kings came, so many princes came, the very powerful kings of the world. But it is said that they could not even move the bow, what to speak of lifting, what to speak of putting a string on that, what to speak of putting an arrow on that. It's all things are unheard and unimagined. They could not even move it. So it is said that for 10,000 years, Janak Maharaj was only on war. Why? Well, all the kings, they were very angry with Janak Maharaj. Just to insult us, just to frustrate us, you have made this rule. It is just to invite us and frustrate us and insult us, you have done this. We can't tolerate this. So they, whoever would not even to move the arrow bow, they would declare war. And the next one would come, and next one would come. They were like constantly fighting and fighting and fighting. And Janak Maharaj had a brother called Kushadhwaja. He was also a great chivalrous warrior. So he also would be always at war with these people who were attacking his brother. So it said 10,000 years just went in battling. And that was described by Janak Maharaj to Vishwamitra Muni and his two sons of Dashrath Maharaj. So Lord Ramchandra was listening very carefully. And then he was taken to the... And Vishwamitra Muni advised Lord Ram, I want you to lift this bow and win the hand of Sita Devi. And in Sita Devi's beauty, and how old she was, any idea? She was 6 years old when she was standing there as a princess. Six. Lord Ramchandra was 12 years old. And her this beauty was described by so many people. And it was world famous, her beauty was world famous. All those kings who came, they were allured by the description of her beauty. But Ramayana explains, Valmiki Muni explains that the only difference between Lord Ramchandra and all those kings, yes, anybody can say, what is the difference with everybody else and Ramchandra? Anybody can guess? What was the difference between Lord Ramchandra coming to attempt to lift the bow and the kings who came to attempt to lift the bow?
Humility.
Everybody came with so much big chest, you know, pride, I am so powerful, looking at Sita, thinking that she is only for me, and I am the one who is going to lift the bow. Everybody has failed, they are fools, I will be lifting the bow. Like that, everybody approached, and everybody failed. And Lord Ramchandra, being supreme personality of Godhead, being all powerful, actually bowed down to the bow. Nobody else bowed down to the bow. Everyone thought, what is there to bow down to the bow? I lift it. I'll string it. Lord Ramchandra touched it, bowed down, offered his dandavat pranams, knowing well that it was a bow of Lord Shiva. He was a great worshipable personality, a great devotee of the Lord, the great demigod, Mahadev. Even Brahma would worship him. With that respect for Lord Shiva, he bowed down to that bow. And then, looking at Vishwamitra Muni with his eyes gave him signal, now you please lift him. And then he again touched it, and with his left hand, instantly lifted it. When he lifted it, there was thunderous sky sounds, huge sounds in the sky. Everybody got alarmed. It is said that when he lifted the bow, the whole world was in turmoil. And then within seconds, he raised it, and he strung it with a string. Huh? And after stringing it, he pulled it so hard that it became a circle. And after that circle, he released that string. And the sound of his twang, actually it is explained that except Janak Maharaj, except Lakshman, except Vishwamitra and Sita, everybody fell unconscious in the whole universe, including all demigods, when he strung the bow. And again they came back to consciousness. And then Lord Ramchandra again pulled the string so hard that suddenly the big bow broke in the middle into two pieces. And everybody was so awestruck that how this can happen. Not only he lifted, not only strung, not only he made a twang sound which made everybody unconscious, but he has broken the bow. They were like completely flabbergasted. And Sita Devi was so happy, finally my Lord has come to marry me. Finally somebody has come. There was a danger of me remaining unmarried. So many people came and attempted, and there was wars and there was so much instability. and lack of peace in the whole kingdom. So many years of fights are going on. At last, I have got my destiny. So, this is Janak Maharaj saw her, she saw him, as if questioning what I should do next. So he hinted at her through his glance only, please come down with Varmala and wear this beautiful prince. So very gracefully, with her eyes looking at the ground, very humbly and very gracefully, as a very cultured princess of Janak Maharaj, she came down the steps and looking at the lotus feet of Lord Ramchandra, she wore a garland on Lord Ramchandra. And demigod showered flowers at that moment. A beautiful union of Lord Ramchandra and Sita. Everybody was so happy. The mother of Sita Devi, Ratnamala Devi, was so happy to see finally her daughter got a son, son-in-law, husband. And then immediately Janak Maharaj sent horse and the messenger to Ayodhya. It is said that he travelled for 2-3 days, day and night, and reached Ayodhya. And the news spread all over the world that Sita Devi is married, about to get married with Lord Ramchandra. And for the permission sake, as an etiquette, Janak Maharaj sent messenger. They reached there, they were received well by Janak Maharaj. And Janak Maharaj then immediately became jubilant and said, yes, immediately we will leave. But the message was to get them married immediately. So Janak Maharaj, after sending message, Dasharath Maharaj immediately got his great army, Bharat, Lakshman, so Lakshman is already there, Bharat and Shatrughna, and all the Sumantha and great ministers, all the army, a band of Brahmanas, and all the necessary things for marriage, all the gifts, so many thousands and millions of cows, they got everything together. And it took them 2 days to reach Janakpuri. Now, they were not travelling in aeroplanes or any Mercedes or in trains. They had celestial chariots. So they travelled from to Ayodhya to Janakpuri in 2 days. They were received well and they built a huge city for receiving all these guests. They were given due respect. And it is said, very significant thing to note down, that Dasharath Maharaj was so happy to see that his son has done the most impossible thing in the world to be done. So proud and so happy and so his heart was filled with vatsalya. He started giving donations to Brahmins immediately. He had Brahmins with him, but the Brahmins from Janakpuri, whoever approached him, immediately it is said that he gave 100,000 cows to each Brahmin. And each cows were decorated with golden horns and golden bell hanging on the neck and golden ankle bells and beautifully decorated silk. What do you call zari? Kya bolte zari ko? Huh? Zari. So that embroidery of zari and golden work was given to each and every shawl which was put on each cow. Such 1 lakh cows he donated to each Brahmin just on the way, before only all the marriage took place. And then Janak Maharaj and Dasharath Maharaj met in a very gorgeous way in the assembly of Brahmanas chanting hymns of auspiciousness. And they said that we want this marriage to take place immediately. So he said, please take out the muhurta in next 2 days. So much in hurry. But they were waiting for this event to take place. Brahmins immediately took out muhurta within 2 days. And but they said that it is too much in hurry. They said, no, we want in hurry. The best muhurta is not available right away, but still the best of possible best should be available immediately. Sadhu said that the best is not so close. It will take some time. They said, no, take out something best time in 2 days' time. So they took out some time. It had some bad omen, but manageable, like that. So, I don't want to go in description of the marriage. The marriage took place in a very gorgeous way. So many demigods appeared in the sky. They were playing instruments, singing songs and dancing in the sky, celebrating the marriage of Lord Ramchandra and Sita in a very, very most gorgeous way, most opulent way, most devotionally, in the presence of thousands of priests. The celestial, the beautiful, divine marriage of Sita and Ramchandra took place. And just before that, they also discussed that I have got three more sons. And Sita has one sister, Urmila. She should be given to Lakshman. And Kushadhwaja has got two daughters. I remember only one name, that is Shrutakirti. Another name I don't remember. Huh? Mandavi. Yes, Mandavi and Shrutakirti. These two daughters were the daughters of the brother of Janak Maharaj, Kushadhwaja. And Kushadhwaja did not have son, only daughters. So immediately Kushadhwaja and the Urmila Devi, they all agreed immediately. And at the same time of the marriage of Sita with Ramchandra, Lakshman got married with Urmila. And Bharat and Shatrughna, Bharat's wife was Mandavi. And Shatrughna's wife was Shrutakirti. They all got married. And immediately they left for their kingdom. As soon as they left from their kingdom, suddenly a big storm came. A lot of dust came in the sky. And owls and all vultures started flying here and there. And everybody got struck, you know, that why this now? When the julus, procession is going of marriage, such things are not auspicious. But Vasishtha Muni was there. Vishwamitra Muni also was there. And because Vasishtha Muni was brought by Dasharatha Maharaj from Ayodhya. Vishwamitra Muni was already there. So two great sages were already there and many, many sadhus were there. Vishwamitra and Vasishtha Muni closely observed that there are some deers walking by. So they said, yes, there is a bad omen for short time, but because we see some deers passing by, this bad omen will be managed very soon and it will be disappearing very soon. But he said, Ramchandra, please be alert. Something is going to happen now. And soon enough, in few seconds, there came roaring sound, thunderous sound, which shook the hearts of everybody, except Lord Ramchandra and Lakshman and the great personalities. And soon after the sound, all the wild animals flew away from their caves, ran away from their caves. All the birds flew in the sky out of fear. And soon after the sound came Lord Parshuram from Mahindra Mountain. Because he heard the twang and the breaking of the bow when he was doing meditation at the mountain Mahindra. So he got very angry. Who in the world, which human being has got daring to do this, to disturb me like this? I must go and challenge that person, must punish that person. Well, his job was to punish Kshatriyas. Except Kshatriyas, nobody can break and make such a sound of the bow. So he understood somebody has broken the bow of Lord Shiva. I must go and punish that person. So he appeared and he challenged, who are you, so impudent, so arrogant? How dare you do such things? You are so proud of your wealth, of prowess and strength. You think you have broken a big bow, but I have bought a bow which is used by Lord Vishnu in the Devasura Sangram. And by the effulgence and prowess of this bow, Lord Shiva's bow had become shithil, become powerless. And that powerless bow, when Lord Vishnu did hunkar, at that time this bow had become very powerless. And that so-called powerless bow you have broken. If you are really strong personality, you should break this bow, or at least lift it. Then I will appreciate you as a big warrior. Parshuram ji was told long, long back that when you will come across Lord Vishnu, you will lose all the power that you have and you will feel that you have become powerless. So he challenged and he threw the bow towards Lord Ram. Lord Ram at this time also bowed down humbly in front of Parshuram and offered respects to him. And then with his left hand, it is said it was 1,000 tons in weight. He lifted that and he struck it with string and pulled it and then left it to make a big, big thunderous sound. And when he did that, there was so much effulgence in the sky. At that time, immediately Parshuram felt hatabal, completely durbal. He felt all the power from his limbs disappeared and he became completely a pulp into powerless situation. At that time he understood, I am not dealing with an ordinary Kshatriya king of a human being. He understood he is Vishnu himself. And actually, to only him, Lord Ramchandra gave a four-arm darshan. Only he could see from the body of Lord Ramchandra that four-armed Vishnu form appeared. And immediately Parashuram bowed down. He says, "You are my Lord, my worshipable Lord. I understood now. It is you, my worshipable Lord. I'm sorry for trying to test you. But I have come to my senses. You have brought me to my senses. Please forgive me for my impudence. And now my work is over. I had come for a particular purpose. Now my work is over. Now this bow is yours. Please handle the bow and take care of your business. I will now retire." And he went back to Mahindra Mountain, performed tapasya. So as the great sages said that there will be a bad omen, there will be a bad thing, because everybody was fearful. They all knew the power of Parshuram, what Parshuram can do. He had slaughtered millions of Kshatriyas 21 times around the globe. He was so powerful that whenever he would come down with his Parshu, so many kings would sit for Yajna immediately. But there was one rule, that if he finds any king performing Yajna, he would not cut them. So as soon as news would come, he's coming, they were hurriedly called Brahmins and sit for Yajna, just to save themselves. And also one more thing he has said, any king is surrounded by women, I will not touch them. So many kings would do that. One king was there whose name was only Nari Kavacha. Nari Kavacha. Immediately after hearing the news, he would collect thousands of women and surround himself with them and remain in between them. So he was always spared. So some demoniac kings. Huh? This is what I heard. Because every time he would come, Dashrath would marry another woman. Like that. So he had 350 wives. Apart from three principal wives. This is true? You have read it somewhere? I also heard it. Yeah, I also heard it. Yes, this is true. 350 wives. Less number or more number? One difficulty here is the difficulty in maintaining one wife with three children. Huh? Yes, Shyamkund Prabhu?
Yes.
Now, Dashrath had 350 wives. How he managed 350 wives, I don't know. But they were happy. They were never having any conflicts or any fights among themselves. The wives were known to love Lord Ramchandra so much. More than all children, they loved Lord Ram. And Kaikeyi was so much in love with Lord Ram. And Sumitra, she had two children, but she would love Ramchandra as a prime child of hers. Like the gopis in Vrindavan, you know, loved Krishna as the foremost of their beloved object of love than their own children. They always loved their child as from their heart, but their love for Lord Krishna was something superfluous, much, much more than their own children. Like that, all the queens, all the Ayodhya Vasinis loved Lord Ramchandra, the foremost of their object of love. So then Lord Ramchandra went back to Dasharath. He was welcomed very, very nicely. Ayodhya was decorated with lamps, with scented waters, with flowers, with hymns, Brahmin singing. Everywhere there were flowers on the road, scented water sprinkled on the road. Everybody was so happy to receive Lord Ramchandra coming with a beautiful lady, celestial woman, as his beautiful wife, the only lady who couldn't be achieved by so many kings in the world, has finally achieved by our Lord Ramchandra. And they were receiving them, four wives and four sons of the royal dynasty were coming, and it was a big ceremony. And then 12 more years Lord Ramchandra stayed in Ayodhya as Yuvraj of Ayodhya. And the 12 years time, Lord Ramchandra managed the kingdom so nicely that each and every Ayodhya Vasi and the inhabitant of the world fell in love with Lord Ramchandra. He was become so popular by his virtuous behavior, by his humility, by his expertise, by his knowledge, by his expertise in dealing with things, on situations and problems. He created an ideal situation in this kingdom of Ayodhya. So after 12 years, when Lord Ramchandra was 24 years and Sita was 18 years of age, 18 years, 6 plus 12. At that particular time, when Kushadhwaja's two daughters, Mandavi and Shrutakirti, were married to Bharat and Shatrughna, right? Dasharatha Maharaj would always tell them, your father-in-law is having no son. Two daughters you have brought here as wives. So he is becoming old and there is nobody to assist him to run his kingdom. So you should regularly go there and help him to assist. Like you don't have a son, then you take your son-in-law as your son. Then you make him your partner in your business and you give your share of his daughters to him only and take him as son only and take care of him like that. So they would spend a lot of time in Kushadhwaja's kingdom. So Bharat Shatrughna was always most of the time there assisting and protecting the kingdom and assisting the king there. So at opportune time, at this moment, Bharat and Shatrughna were already in Kushadhwaja's kingdom. And Dasharatha became overwhelmed with the thoughts that now I must retire and go to forest. And Lord Ram was grown so much of popularity, so much of loving place in the hearts of Ayodhyavasis. Now is the right time to make him king. So immediately he called priests and Brahmins and said, please take out Muhurta as early as possible. So they were saying, wait for some time. They said, no. They're saying, wait. The Muhurta is not so good. But he was overwhelmed with thoughts that I should retire and Lord Ram should become king. There was no question of, pulling on and on and on that till the time that you can't hear anything, till the time cataracts have overwhelmed your eyes, your paralysis has come over, tremblings have come over your body, and still you are in the seat and waiting to die or to be thrown out by somebody. It is not like that. When everything was fine, they wanted to hand over and renounce. But they were never thinking that this kingdom is mine and it's my property for my enjoyment. They would simply do it as service to the Lord and to the kingdom as a representative of the Lord. So Dasharatha Maharaj wanted to go. But somehow he was so eager, although the Brahmins were telling him, this is not right Muhurta. Something inauspicious will take place. He said, to find out best of best. And they found out. And within 2 days the Muhurta came. He said, Bharat Shatrughna is not there. He said, it's all right. We will explain them in the course of time. But this best thing in the course of life should happen immediately. And immediately this was declared that on 2 days after he would become king, the crown prince will become king. And immediately Brahmins started chanting mantras and doing Agnihotras and calling Lord Ram for performing various rituals. And the whole city of Ayodhya started becoming ready. All the elephants went around distributing sweets and the news. Everybody was jubilant. And priests were performing sacrifices with Lord Ramchandra. And Kaikeyi and Sumitra Devi and all the queens became so happy. They were distributing jewels to all the dasis and to whoever came on their way to tell the news. They were just giving jewels and ornaments to everybody. And suddenly Mantra came to Kaikeyi. 12 years had passed. All the demigods were very anxiously upset in their kingdoms upstairs. They were thinking, what is happening? We had gone to Brahma. Brahma had taken us to Vishnu and Vishnu had promised us. The demons who have terrorized us, led by Ravan, they are still causing their atrocities. Only Tadka, Subahu and Maricha have been dealt with. What about that Ravan who is harassing everybody? Something has to be done. So it is said that by the power of demigods, Mantra's mind was polluted. And Mantra approached Kaikeyi. And Kaikeyi was dressing up. Kaikeyi was so blissful. She was so happy. My Ram is becoming king. So she gave the news. Did you hear something? She was frowning. She had wrinkled forehead. She was angry. She was almost trembling in anger, upset. And she gave the news. Did you hear something? Ram is becoming king. She said, yes. She immediately removed a mala of jewels and gave Mantra. Thinking that she's so happy. Giving happy news. Mantra took the mala of jewels and threw on the ground. Said, Mantra, what happened to you? It's a happy news. Said, I care a damn for your jeweled necklace. Do you understand a foolish lady? It is said that Mantra was very severe. Mantra had received Kaikeyi as a young girl, as wife of Dasharatha, and nurtured her, taken care of her, trained her. So she was like very senior, elderly servant, but sometimes, you know, servants are there for some generations sometimes, you know, and three generations are born in front of the servant. Servant was young, and first generation servant became middle-aged, second generation, she became old, third generation, and she has reared the children like that. So Kaikeyi was like daughter of Mantra in age, but a servant still. So she said, "Do you know what is misfortune is awaiting you?" He said, "What is misfortune? Everything is fortune. Everything is auspiciousness. My Ram is becoming king. The world will become jubilous because of Lord Ram is becoming king." He said, "Kaikeyi, you are foolish. You are going down to the tracks of inauspiciousness and misfortune. Do you know by this means what Dasharatha has done? Dasharatha has made a nice plot to minimize your position. Now by this particular plot, Ram will become king. Kausalya will become main queen and most dear to Dasharatha, and you will be sidetracked. All this while, because of your beauty and because of your wonderful nature, he was favoring you. He would never disobey whatever you would say. But by this plot, Kausalya is going to become the main position king, and you will become Mr. Nobody. Do you know this? Do you understand this? Your Bharat will be not even mentioned by anybody. He will become insignificant person in Ayodhya. All the other brothers will lose all positions because Lakshman is very close to Lord Ram. Lord Ram and Lakshman will become prominent, and Bharat Shatrughna will become insignificant, and you foolish Kaikeyi, you will lose all positions. Still Kaikeyi was refusing and arguing, not accepting. Said, "You are a foolish woman. Oh, hunchback, foolish woman. What has haunted you? Why you talk like this? This is not true. My husband loves me. His love will never vanish for me." But what happens when you are in company for a long time of bad people? You may think you are strong. You may think you are all power to counteract and not get overwhelmed. But very soon and slowly and steadily, your consciousness will get affected. Yes, she was arguing. Yes, she was trying to defeat Mantra. But Mantra's vicious nature was so strong that soon Kaikeyi started somewhat accepting. Kaikeyi started feeling some sense behind what she is saying. Kaikeyi started getting convinced that what she was telling was true. And finally, as Mantra entered with a crooked, wrinkled, frowned face with full of anger, Kaikeyi also assumed the full mood of Mantra. So what happens when we associate with non-devotees? We adopt their mood, adopt the same envy, adopt the same desire for sense gratification, adopt offensive mentality in their company, start thinking like them. Our consciousness becomes completely polluted in the company of non-devotees. So Rupa Goswami said, we should avoid company of non-devotees and avoid company of those devotees who are lusty and who are fully engrossed in sense gratification. Even devotees who are engrossed in lust and sense gratification, their company should be avoided, because their company will affect your consciousness. Wherever you go, the consciousness of people affect your consciousness. Unless you are strong in your consciousness, you will get overwhelmed with the opposite consciousness which is encountering you. So soon enough, there was a time period of argument from Kaikeyi, but Kaikeyi very soon became overwhelmed. So then she said, "Tell me, now I understood what you said. Now I understand fully what is the matter for which you have come. Now you only tell me what I should do." He said, "Kaikeyi, do you remember there was a war in which you had accompanied Dasharatha Maharaj? Do you remember he had become unconscious in the warfare? Do you remember you had saved him from unconscious condition? You had taken chariot in your hand, become the charioteer and led the horses to the tent, and you had nursed him, brought him back to consciousness. Do you remember he had given you two boons that time? Do you remember you had told him, 'I will take it from you later on. This is the time to take those two boons.' So how I should take the two boons?" He said, "You assume, remove all your ornaments, all the dressings that you have done, all shringar, wear black sari, and go to sulking chambers, Krodh Bhavan, and lie down on the ground, on the bare ground, and soon your husband will come. He'll fall at your feet. He'll plead you. He'll ask you what has happened. Don't speak to him for a long time. Then he will plead you and plead you, coax you, what do you want? That time you say, I will take the two boons now. Are you ready for that? And that time you say that, my son to be made king and Lord Ram to be sent to forest for 14 years. Immediately she removed all ornaments, changed the dress, wore black sari, went to Krodh Bhavan, lay on the ground. News went to Dasharath that Kaikeyi has entered Krodh Bhavan. She just disturbed him. Why? My son is becoming king. Such a joyous occasion. What is going wrong? Why is she unhappy? Has somebody hurt her? I must go immediately there. He came running to Krodh Bhavan. He saw Kaikeyi lying in a very ugly, inauspicious way on the ground, crying tears. So he fell. My dear queen, my dear lotus-eyed queen, my beloved, my heart of hearts, what has gone wrong? Tell me. She didn't respond, didn't look at him. Went on this side, again looked at him. She turned her face, went at her feet, fell at her feet. Tell me, how can I please you? I can give my life to you. I'll die for you. What do you want in the whole three worlds? I will offer to you. Whatever pleases you, please don't be in this mood. Then she started speaking. He said, you, the monarch of Raghu dynasty, do you have the power to fulfill your words? Are you sure that you are going to do what I am going to tell you? He said, I will give my life. He says, giving life is easy, but are you going to be sure that what I am going to ask you, are you going to fulfill that? He said, you ask anything. He said, I want those two boons. He said, yes, I am ever ready to give those two boons to you. You only said that I will not take it now. You want it now? It's a good time. Lord Ramchandra is becoming king. You take the boons right now. He said, do you have daring to hear what I want to say? He said, whatever you say, I will accept immediately and fulfill your desires. You just utter your words. So she took a very vicious stance. We made a drama of that, you know. And one of the Matajis became such a vicious stance she took, you know. Such a cunning gesture. And she said, like a thunderbolt shattering the heart of Dasharath Maharaj, he said, my son should become a king. Even till then, Dasharath was okay. But he said, eldest son of Kaikeyi and yours, Lord Ramchandra, should be banished to forest for 14 years, wearing tree bark and eating kandamul. At that time, Dasharath Maharaj fell unconscious. Crying, it was like a blow on his heart. He couldn't bear it. He rose, he cried, again he fell down. It said many, many times he attempted to remain conscious, but he was falling unconscious again and again, crying like baby, falling on the ground. So he said, what kind of king you are? What kind of Raghuvanshi you are? You promised me, and now you are making this drama, making this show, crying on tears. Why you said yes to me? Fine if you don't give me the boon. But you promised me, shame to you. That means he was already almost dead, you know, and she was throwing so many harsh words on him. Said, you crooked woman, how you can think like this? I'll make Bharat the king, but why my beloved Ram should go to forest? Said, I do not know. You have to fulfill my desire. This is my desire. You promised me, you must fulfill your word. And she sent Dasi to be called for Lord Ram. Lord Ram was performing some rituals with the Brahmins in his own chambers to be getting ready for the next day ceremony. Next day he was being coronated. Early morning, ceremony was going to begin. So preparatory ceremony was going on. Kaushalya's chamber was decorated. They were all getting ready. And the news came that the father is remembering you in the sulking chambers of Kaikeyi. Odd, no? Little odd kind of message. Why father is remembering me in Krodh Bhavan of Kaikeyi, and why Kaikeyi is in Krodh Bhavan? What must have happened? So Lord Ramchandra immediately went. So then he went there, he saw father lying on a couch, almost unconscious, bitterly crying like anything, unable to speak a word. Kaikeyi standing in a very angry stance. We offer dandavat to both of them. Yes, mother, yes, father, what is the order for me? The father is simply crying bitterly. So Kaikeyi said, he doesn't have courage to tell you what he has to tell you. Because he has become weak in his heart. He has lost his composure, lost all his intelligence and strength. I must convey to you what he has to convey to you. My son Bharat will become king in place of you, and you will go to forest for 14 years. What do you expect? Lord Ram should faint, fall unconscious, fell at the feet of Kaikeyi, plead her, no mother, I want to become king, why this injustice to me? Lord Ram, without changing one line on his face, said, that's all? That's all you have to say? You could have called me and told me why you have become so angry. Bharat, I love Bharat very much. No problem. I love forest. Whatever your order, whatever my father's order is my desire. Lord Ram displayed his opulence of Vairagya by this. Any ordinary personality, any demigod would have become utterly disturbed with this situation. Lord Ramchandra instantly said, that's all. That's all you wanted. For that you have done all this anger and everything, and made my father, you could have sent me message, you could have told me like this. No problem. Immediately Lord Ramchandra very peacefully walked out. Tomorrow's king, today's crown prince, immediately went to his chambers, removed all his clothes. Sita Devi was very anxious. What must have been happening? Why he is called? What must happen? He very coolly narrated to her what happened. She fell unconscious. She cried. She couldn't bear the thoughts of her husband going to forest, and that too tomorrow he is going to become king. But he said, Sita, you stay back and take care of my old father and mothers. My father is in very bad condition. I can imagine his situation. So please remain behind. Take care of them. So they are going to die any moment with this shock. Kausalya came to know. She was shocked. Sumitra came to know. She was also shocked. And Sita said, I want to come with you. He said, Sita, how can you come with me? You have not put your lotus foot on the ground any time. You have not walked on the ground any time. You always were reared in the beautiful palaces of Janak Maharaj. You don't know what forest means. There are wild animals there. There are so many demons over there. Mayavi, they have so many powers. They harass people. They eat people. There is nothing cooked food there. There are no servants there. There are no horses there. There are no silver and gold plates there. There are no opulence over there. You have to eat berries and roots. And you can't even stay in one place. You have to keep moving from one place to another. Living in the bank of river under the tree. How can a beautiful, delicate princess like you bear the atrocities of a forest? That too for 14 years. I will go. You please stay behind. This is my desire. Sita Devi said, what kind of wife I am? In my father's kingdom, I married you. I took a vow in front of the Brahmins in the fire and all the assembled Vaishnavas that I will remain with you in happiness and sorrow. I'll stand by you. I'll share all my life with you. And share all your life with myself. How can I make my own oath a falsehood? And how can I betray my father in front of whom I have taken the oath that I will live in the kingdom of my husband and share everything with him? Fame, defamy, wealth, poverty, loss or win, victory or defeat, every single disease or health. Everything I will share equally with my husband. My father will be betrayed if I don't accompany you. Even if we die, we stay together. So Sita Devi was tested by Lord Ram. And Sita Devi proved to be most victorious, most chaste woman on earth. Lord Ram had to accept. Then came Lakshman, angrily. But he said, Lakshman, don't get angry. You stay behind and take care of father. Don't take care of the kingdom. He said, I just cannot do it. Because right from his birth, he was by the side of Lord Ram. Never ever separated from Lord Ram, from serving him for a second also. He says, impossible for me to stay behind. I have to come with you. Again, he defeated Lord Ram. And he said, I am also going to come with you. And instead of one Lord Ramchandra, three of them went to the Krodh Bhavan of Kaikeyi. And Kaikeyi, cruelly guided by Manthara, very cruelly, she was ready with three barks. Can you imagine? You have to go and find three barks for yourself. But she was ready, take this, wear this here in front of me and go from here. So the Shrutra was saying, you cruel lady, how cruel you can be. You have uttered this boons from me, taken from me. I accepted that. And you are so cruel that you are the beautiful, delicate Sita Devi, you are giving three bhag to her. She is the princess of Janakpuri. You should have some shame. But you are ready with the three bhags to be worn for them. But she was firm and determined. So in front of them, they wore three bhag and they left. Soon the news went all over Ayodhya. And Ayodhya was in despair, total dismay and despair. They said, we will all abandon Ayodhya. Wherever Lord Ram will go, that will become Ayodhya. Let forest become Ayodhya. Let the Ayodhya city become forest. Let it be deserted for Ayodhya, for Dasharath Maharaj and for Kaikeyi. But they didn't understand intricacies. They felt Dasharath Maharaj has given the order. They came to know about Kaikeyi also, but they said Dasharath accepted. So let them stay here. Let it become a barren forest. And let us all go to forest where Lord Ram is going to stay. Let us become, let that become Ayodhya. Wherever he is, that is Ayodhya. And then soon they came out. And old men, ladies, young children, deceased children, animals, everybody followed Lord Ramchandra. The rule was that they had to be dropped to the forest. So Arya Sumanta came in chariot with Ramchandra, Lakshman and Sita wearing tree box on the chariot. Everybody was weeping and crying and falling unconscious. But they left their homes and wealth and their families and all family together. They were walking with Lord Ramchandra. Lord Ramchandra was convincing them, don't do this. Please, 14 years is a very small period. I'll come back very soon to be with you. Don't do this. He said, we don't want to live only. What is the value of our life without you? We want to live, if at all we have to live, we'll live with you wherever you are. So they all followed him. It's a very difficult kind of scene for Lord Ram to manage, you know. He was convincing everybody, they were not accepting. Like when Lord Ramchandra Krishna was leaving for Mathura, the gopis, were millions of gopis were crying, falling on the ground, said, take the chariot over us. We don't want to live anymore without you. What is the life without you? He was trying to convince everybody, don't do like this. Have faith, I'm going to come in 2 days' time. Like that Ramchandra was telling them, I'm coming, it's a short period of time. It was a fact because in Treta Yuga, lifespan of 10,000 years, 14 years was a very small period of time. But they were not accepting. Such was the position in the hearts of all the Ayodhyavatis of Lord Ramchandra. Such was devotion and love and faith that they had in him. They were willing to sacrifice their whole life for him. And then they went to the forest with them, took halt at the bank of river Ganga, and took halt over there. They all slept there. And Lord Ramchandra rose in the middle of the night, woke Sumanta up, woke Lakshmana up, woke Sita up, and told them, this is the time to go away from here. Otherwise, they will cross the river and come with us. So in the middle of the night, they vanished from there. After 2-3 hours, they crossed the river. They came to the kingdom of Guha, Nishad Raj. By the time they woke up here, and they were all frustrated, beating their chest. Where our Lord has gone? Where our Lord has gone? But nowhere to know where he has gone. So they just returned with heavy heart to Ayodhya. And Ayodhya became like a ghost town. Although people were there, they were living like ghosts. There was no life in Ayodhya. And Nishad Raj Guha offered everything to Lord Ramchandra. He said, you become kingdom, king of my own kingdom. This kingdom is for you. Although we are Bhillas, we are Shudras, but we are your devotees. We love you. You are a master. Take up the position of a king and live 14 years. This is forest. But he said, as a Vanvas, I cannot accept any opulence, any position, any enjoyments of a kingdom. I cannot take any favors from you. I love you. King Guha exhibited symptoms of pure devotee and surrendered at the feet of Lord Ram. Offered everything of his kingdom, his power. He wanted to become servant of Lord Ram, menial assistant. Lord Ram saying, thank you very much. I just cannot disobey my father by accepting your old favors. You cannot take anything. I can live in the forest as a forest mendicant. So immediately he called his servants and he made a hut of leaves with his servants' help. Lakshman assisted and guided them. And then he offered him berries and fruits. He made them leaf bed. And Lord Rama very comfortable. He accepted the hospitality, ate the fruits, slept on the leaf bed. And about to leave next day, Guha cried and cried and cried, please don't leave. He said, I must leave. And he left. Here, Dasharath couldn't bear separation of Lord Ram. He only chanted Ram, Ram and Ram, day and night, without sleep, food or drink. And very soon he passed away. He just could not bear the separation from Lord Ram. He had a curse. He was hunting one day and he was on an excursion. At that time it became twilight. He could not find an animal that he could have killed. He was still waiting, waiting and waiting. It became twilight. It became dark. And Dasharath was a great warrior. He had the skill of shooting an arrow at the direction of sound. Dhani Lakshabhed, it is called as. Suddenly he heard sound of some drinking water in the river. So shot an arrow immediately, thinking maybe a deer or a tiger may be there drinking water in the river. At that time, a loud cry of a human being came because he shot an arrow in the chest of a small child who was fetching water from the river for his old mother and father. His name was Shravan. He was carrying the balance on his shoulder and they were thirsty. So he was fetching water and that sound attracted the attention of Dasharath. And Dasharath was cursed by these two old and blind, I think, mother and father. That as we are lamenting for our dying son, you will die lamenting for your son. As we are lamenting for our son because of you. So in separation, crying for Lord Ram, Dasharath left his body. Soon, Bharat and Shatrughna came back from the kingdom of Kushadhwaja, hearing the news. And Bharat was shocked that for him all this thing was done. He was the cause. Everybody was looking with different kind of sight at Bharat. He is the person for whom all this thing is done. You can imagine Bharat's position. Bharat loved Lord Ram like his life and breath. And he was looked at by everybody that this is the person for whom everything was done. He was condemned by sight only by everybody. So he went to the kingdom of his mother, the palace, and he said, why? Why did all these things? I never wanted to become king. I am mere an insignificant servant of my lord and master, and my brother Ramchandra. How could you do this? My father died because of you. So he used very harsh words for his mother. He said, from today, you are not my mother. From today, I am not your son. Forget me as your son. I will live simply as a servant of my brother. He gathered all the ministers, had discussion with them. He told them, right now I want to go to the forest. Take all the Brahmins, take all the paraphernalia of crowning him as king. I will want to see him as a king in the forest only. And from there, with respect and great pomp, I will bring him back to Ayodhya and offer my kingdom to him. It's not my kingdom, but it is his kingdom. I am only his servant. So he convinced everybody and took all the army. And by that time, by the guidance of sadhus, they have settled in Chitrakoot, a very beautiful forest at the outskirts of Ayodhya. And Ayodhya, the army came with Bharat, led by royal insignia. A lot of noise was there because they were all coming. And Lakshman heard the noise in the forest. And Lakshman climbed a tree and saw that the royal insignia of Ayodhya is coming towards the forest, led by Bharat's chariot, led by his flag. He could see Bharat is on the chariot. His flag was waving. And a huge army said, Bharat is attacking. He wants to attack and kill both of us because he knows that after 14 years, you will come back and claim the kingdom. So he wants to finish the story right now only. Instead of 14 hours waiting, he wants to come and kill you right now. Lakshman was so enraged, I'll burn the whole world along with Bharat and Shatrughna and everybody else. I'll destroy the kingdom of and the army of Ayodhya. with my bow and arrows. Lord Ram was hearing very peacefully what he had to hear from Lakshman. He said, Lakshman, just have patience. Just wait. I know Bharat. He's my brother. He loves me. He cannot come in this motive. He said, no, I am seeing with my own eyes. He's coming with army. If he has to convince you, he has to come alone. Why is he coming with army? His motivation is to attack you and kill you. He's coming from a Kshatriya. Not as a humble brother of yours. He could have come alone if he had some good motivations. He said, still wait. Wait till he comes. So he came there. And he fell at the feet of Lord Ram. He said, you are my Lord and Master. You should become king. It's not my kingdom. This is my mother's lord. I have detached from her. I have renounced her as my mother. She is no more my mother. The cause of all the things. Please don't misunderstand me. Accept this kingdom. This is your kingdom. I want to serve you as Supreme Lord and my master. That's the only position of mine. I brought Brahmins. I brought all paraphernalia. Please agree for a ceremony of becoming king right now. It was a very tough time for Lord Ram to convince Bharat. But Bharat was so overwhelmed with emotion. Because for no fault of his, he was, you know, in a blaming situation, blameful situation. He was in a great embarrassment. You can imagine a pure soul like Bharat, you know. He was being misunderstood. People were angry with him, were blaming him. He was a root cause, apparently, of all the situation. He was crying tears. You know, somebody who is not the cause of calamity, blamed for the calamity. So he just couldn't bear it. But Lord Ramchandra was firm on his determination. So I cannot put my father, of course, he was also shocked to hear that his father left his body. He was lamenting. That was, see, the event is so mixed event. It's like, there's a plea from Bharat, there's a news from Bharat that father died, he saw his mother's, all in white dress, they were asking why they are in white dress. So it's a very emotional, complicated situation. But Lord Ramchandra exhibited his great power of determination and not getting wavered from the decision that he had taken to keep the glory of his father's word. So if I accept your kingdom right now, my father will be defamed all over the universe. Demigods will disrespect him. I will come after 14 years, but I have to be in the forest. Bharat cried and cried and cried, fell at the feet of Lord Ram. The Vasishtha Muni, Vishwamitra also tried to convince Lord Ram. Lord Ram didn't agree. And he said, Bharat, please go back and run the kingdom. Bharat said, I will go back only on one condition. I will stay like you, the way you are staying. I will wear tree bark. I will give all my crown. I will live out of Ayodhya in a village called Nandigram. Please wear these chappals. Please you place your feet on that. I will keep them on the throne and worship them every day and take instruction from these two slippers of yours. And I will wait for 14 years. I will run the kingdom from outskirts of Ayodhya. And one moment after 14 years is over, if you don't come, I will commit suicide. For even one moment after 14 years, I will not be able to live as king. Or whatever, whichever way you want me to be. That is my condition and my request to you. Please don't even delay for one moment after 14 years are over. I will be counting days and months and years and moments in separation from you. So he lived, he went back with heavy heart, great sorrow. He dumped all the paraphernalia of being king, becoming king, the crowning ceremony, paraphernalia, in a well with a very sad heart. And that well is called Bharat Koop. It is still there in Ayodhya, in Chitrakoot, named as Bharat Koop, where very sadly Bharat dropped all the paraphernalia and with heavy heart he went back to the kingdom of Ayodhya and lived at the hut at the outskirts of Ayodhya in a village called Nandigram. Then for 13 years Lord Ramchandra and Sita Devi and Lakshman lived in Chitrakoot. And for 13 years they were simply immersed in serving the sadhus, picking up flowers for them, making food for them, hearing from them, associating with them, enjoying the breeze of forest, living like sadhus, mendicants, moving from place to place. They were very blissful. And the demigods were upset again. 13 years have passed. No demon killing, nothing. What is the mission of Lord Ram? So Lord Ram understood that my mission is to kill demons. So 13 years later, he told the sadhus that we are leaving very soon. Sadhus were in great tears when they declared that they are going to go away. They just couldn't imagine that we will lose the company of Lord Ram. But Lord Ram said, I have to go. And they moved from there all the way down south to Dandakaranya. And they went to Dandakaranya and met Agastya Muni. Agastya Muni's ashram is there about 88-90 kilometers from Nasik, southwards. Agastya Muni ashram is still there. There Lord Ramchandra, Lakshman and Sita went. Lakshman never slept all the while, all the 14 years. Daytime he would serve them by bringing wood, by bringing fruits and berries, by building house for them. And night time he would stand guard in Virasan, in most attentive posture, that no demons, no wild animals would attack them. So that their lords and masters, Sita and Ram, would stay and live peacefully, and sleep peacefully in the night time. Like that he spent 14 years. So 14th year, they went to Agastya Muni and they were asking Agastya Muni, which is the best place to live here? So Agastya Muni described a beautiful place at the bank of Godavari. Narrated that place very beautifully. There are nice mountains, nice birds singing songs. There are flowers. There is beautiful river sound coming. It's very, very beautiful, peaceful area. So all the sadhus are worshipping the Lord, meditating. It's the best place you can live. And Dandakaranya was also the kingdom of Jatayu. And Jatayu was already in Vatsalya Bhav with Lord Ram. So Lord Ram was hearing the narrations from Agastya Muni. Jatayu came there. And it was decided that I will live at the bank of Godavari River. At that time Jatayu said that this forest is infested with very dangerous demons and wild animals. So I will spread my wings and I will fly over you. When you are walking from the earth and reaching that place, I will protect you from skies. So he actually flew over them when they were walking with his spread wings and escorted them till the banks of Godavari River at Dandakaranya. And soon enough, Lakshman immediately got leaves and got bamboos and constructed a big leaf hut, Parnakuti, at the bank of Godavari River. And now our story begins of our yatra. This was all the background of the story. And he built a hut, brought the berries and roots, and started living over there. And very soon, one demoness came there. Her name was Shurpanakha. She was the sister of Ravan. It is explained that she had all the powers as equal as Ravan. Very powerful. And she would eat sadhus for the breakfast. And she came there and she saw the beauty of Lord Ram was of the color of Durva, green color like Darbhankur, who had broad arms reaching up to the knees, with lotus-like eyes, but matted locks of hair. Still he was looking so attractive and effulgent. And he had such strong built arms with the mark of an arrow on the shoulder where he would keep his bow every time. With a quiver, he were looking like Lord of Demigods, effulgent like millions of suns. So powerful and effulgent. So beautiful was his body, although he was such a strong like Kshatriya, but delicate like lotus flower. So she was enamored by his beauty. And she immediately, lust arose from her heart. And she thought, I must enjoy with this man. I must marry this man. So she approached him and said, I'm enamored by you. I want to marry you. Please marry me. This forest is mine. I am the queen of this forest. Everything moves by my direction here. We will put our hands in each other's hands, taking arms of another, each other, We will move around the forest and enjoy the beauty of the forest. Please accept my proposal. She was so much overwhelmed with lust that although she had the power to convert herself into a beautiful lady, she forgot that. She had a belly like a big drum. Nagada. Nagada hota hai nagada. Like a big nagada. Her belly was so big. Her eyes were like big caves. Her nostrils were like huge caves, horrible caves. A horrible breath was coming out of her mouth. She had red colored hair. She was looking so ghastly. Her sound was like thunderous, causing fear in the hearts of all living entities in the universe. She was so harsh in her speech. But she felt that she was so sweet and so attractive and so enamoring and so attractive and so attracting the hearts of everybody. She thought she had every single activity was so sweet and so komal. She will attract the attention of Lord Ram. But Lord Ram said, I am married with this woman. So she asked, who are you? Oh beautiful man, please give me your parichay. He said, I am the son of Dashrath. I have come here by the plea of my father. He sent me to the forest. Supposed to live a forest life. And she is the daughter of Janak Maharaj from Mithila, married to me. And I love her so much, I can give my life for her. And he is my brother. My brother who loves me like anything. And we are here for... Oh dear, oh beautiful lady, what is your mission? Who are you? So she said that I am the brother, I am the sister of Ravan, sister of Kumbhakarna and Bibhishan. Ravan is so powerful, she described his power, how he got boons from Brahma and Shiva, how he lifted Kailash. And I have another brother who is Kumbhakarna, who is so powerful and so dangerous to the whole creation that he is put to sleep for 364 days of a year. Only 1 year he gets up. And we have a black sheep brother who is misfit in our family, whose name is Bibhishan. He is a devotee. What kind of person he is? He is a foolish person, but he is a devotee of Lord Vishnu. And I have two more brothers who stay here with me, Kar and Dushan. 14,000 soldiers are with them. And they guard this place called Janasthan. And they are ruling this place. And I am their sister. As powerful as Lord, as Ravan, my brother. What can I do? I can do everything in my prowess. And everybody is terrorized by me. So with this situation, you are the ideal husband for me. I am ideal wife for you. Give up this worm-like durbal lady. ऐसे क्रुश और दुर्बल कीड़े जैसे औरत को आप त्याग दो और मेरे पति बनो. लॉर्ड राम सेड दैट आई एम वेरी मच डिवोटेड टू हर एंड लव हर वेरी मच बट आई एम ओनली सपोज टू बी वन एक पति व्रता इन दिस लाइफ आई विल बी ओनली हैविंग वन वुमन बट माई ब्रदर हैज लेफ्ट हिज वाइफ इन अयोध्या. He is in separation from his wife. So maybe he will accept your plea. He needs the company of a woman. So she saw him and he was equally attractive as Lord Ram. All the descriptions of Lord Ram were befitting him also. He was so beautiful, strong and delicate like lotus flower at the same time, having such strength coming from his arms. She went to him, said, please marry me. I will enjoy with you. You will enjoy with me. So he said, I don't mind marrying you. But the problem is, I have come here as servant of my brother. I am simply a menial servant. So if you marry me, it's very good. But you will become also a menial servant because the wife of a das is dasi. So you will simply be reduced to a position of a dasi, a menial servant of this person and personality whom I am serving. So what is the point? You again approach him only. If he accepts you, you will become the queen and I will serve you. So she went back to him and again pleaded with him. But soon she came to understand that this lady here, who is like a stupid human being, like a worm, so delicate, what can she stand in front of me? But she is the cause of all the conflict. So she said, now I understand that unless I finish this woman for my breakfast, you will not be accepting me as wife. So I must attack her and kill her. So she just started rushing towards Sita. At that time, Lakshman felt enough is enough. No more joking situations anymore. Lakshman, please take care of this situation immediately. So she was rushing like a wind towards Sita to attack and devour her, and she would have devoured that. She could have done that. And with the speed of wind and expertise of running a weapon, Lakshman took out his sword, and within the eyelids are closing, within that sound time, that much time, he rushed and very skillfully cut her nose and two ears. Without anything, she could understand what happened. She was rushing to kill her, Sita. Within a fraction of a second, she roared like anything and cried like anything because her nose was cut and blood was flowing. Within moments, her face and body was filled with blood. And she shouted like anything. And in fear, she ran away from there. And then she realized that this man has cut my nose and throat, nose and ears. She went to Karan Dushan, chastised him. You foolish, lusty men, do you understand what has happened to me? Two simple, ordinary men who are our eatables, they have made this condition for me. What are you doing here, enjoying women and drinking wine? Show your prowess and chivalry by fighting with those men. So immediately they roared, who dare they can do that on earth? My sister is insulted like this. So immediately 14,000 army, Karan Dushan, reached there at the site. She was flying in the sky, guiding them, and with chariots shining brilliantly of Kar, Dushan and Trishira, another demon, who had body like mountain with three huge peaks on that, looking so ghastly and horrible. That mountainous body on chariot, three chariots were running towards the hermitage of Lord Ramchandra. And following them were 14,000 soldiers making ghastly sounds. They were roaring. All the animals were fleeing from their caves with such tumultuous sounds. Soon, Lord Ramchandra came to understanding that now, as we have insulted this demoness, times are not going to be cool for us. So he sent Lakshman to the forest to fetch some berries and wood. And when he was away, Lord Ramchandra took Sita to the meeting place of Kapila River and Godavari River. Lakshman cut the nostril of Surpanakha and threw it across Godavari. So that part where Nasika of Surpanakha fell, that became Nasik. And this part became, what is the name? Tapovan. In fact, the Parnakuti of Lord Ramchandra extended from Karam Mandir all the way to Tapovan. Otherwise, how could that be happen? From where he threw? From the hermit only, no? From Parnakuti only he threw the Nasika. There only Surpanakha came. And we go to Tapovan to visit the place in Tapovan where Lakshman cut the nostril of Surpanakha and threw it across Godavari. There has to be also part of Parnakuti only. And we go to another place called Sita Haran, where Ravan came and stole Sita. That has to be part of Parnakuti only. So all these places, Kalaram Mandir, Sita Haran, and Lakshman Rekha, the river of Lakshman Rekha, and Tapovan, everything is a part of Parnakuti. Now civilization has come into being, so it has been divided into parts. But all that place is one Parnakuti of Lord Ramchandra. So then he took her just across his house, right? Just across his house, took Sita and called for Agnidev. Agnidev immediately appeared. Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh also appeared. And in the presence of Lord Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh and Agnidev, Lord Ramchandra handed over Sita to Agnidev and said, please take care of her. In return, Agnidev gave Chaya Sita to Lord Ram to act as his wife. Because the original internal potency of Lord Krishna or Supreme Lord, Supreme Personality cannot be touched by anything. So to perform his pastimes, he accepted Chaya Sita, the image of Sita, from Agnidev. And Agnidev took Sita original with him to Agniloka to protect her. That is called as Tridev Kund, with the three ponds. of Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh. And at the Sangam of Kapila Devi and Godavari at Tapovan, Sita Devi was handed over to Agni Dev. And Chaya Sita was brought back to the Parnakoti. Lakshman did not know anything. Lakshman came back. Lord Ram said, now you have to be careful. There will be no more peace with us because we have already pained the demoness. And soon enough, there was large sounds disturbing the peace of the forest. There were roarings and there were so many things. The roarings of the demons led by Khar, Dushan and Trishira was happening. So Lord Ramchandra said, Lakshman, please take Sita and put her in the cave. And that is the place of Sita Gufa at Panchavati. Sorry, the place where Nasika was thrown is called Nasik. And on this side is called Tapovan. Not Tapovan, it's called Panchavati actually. So in Panchavati, Sita Devi was ordered by Lord Ram to be taken there by Lakshman. And he told Lakshman, guard her there. And Panchavati is the place where Sita Gufa is there. And the story of Panchavati is that Surya Dev got married with Usha Devi. And Usha Devi had tough time to live with Surya Dev because he was so effulgent that she could not bear the effulgence of Surya Dev. Somehow, she gave birth to one son. Out of fear, she approached him. So Surya Dev said that because you are fearful, your son will be feared by every creature, every living entity in the universe. And he was Yamraj. That everybody will be fearful of him. So next time she sobered down and she approached again. And that time Lord Vivaswan was very happy. And she said, now a daughter will be born in the form of a river. By taking bath in whose waters, the fear of the elder son will be vanquished. And she will be Yami, she will be Yamuna. So still, Usha Devi had a difficult time to live with Surya Dev, bearing all the effulgence. She couldn't just tolerate it. So one time, she just left home and wanted to have a break. So she went to the hermitage of Kadma Muni. You know Kadma Muni? Kadma Muni also, in his ashram, Shakuntala was born. And Shakuntala was taken care of. This Kadma Muni's ashram is there in Kamevan also. On the way to Kamevan, there's the ashram of Kadma Muni. And Kadma Muni ashram is there in Panchavati also. So there Usha Devi came and stayed and was taking a break. But then Surya Dev got feelings of separation. So he came there in search of his wife Usha Devi. And Usha Devi realized that Surya Devi is coming. So she disguised herself as a she-horse. She started running away. So Lord Surya took a form of horse. He started running behind the she-horse. So you can imagine the scene. The horse is running, the she-horse is running ahead and horse is running behind. And there were five Rishi Kumaras who were studying in the hermit of Kadma Muni. They saw the scene and they understood by their Brahminical power that here is Surya Dev, here is Usha Devi. They are having good time running behind one another. So they laughed. So they were cursed by Surya Dev to become trees. So they became trees. Five banyan trees. Panchavati. So Vatavruksha. They have become Rishi Kumaras. Rishi Kumaras become Vatavruksha there. It's called Panchavati. Of course, they witness all the beautiful pastimes of the Lord, staying there as trees, still standing as trees over there. So this is the background of Panchavati. So Lord Lakshman took Panchita Devi, put her in the cave and stood guard. And Lord Ram said, I will handle the demons. And soon enough, roaring sounds of chivalry, boasting their strength, Khar, Dushan and Trishir came. And within 1 hour's time, the long description, within 1 hour's time, Lord Ramchandra slayed all the 14,000 armies. Within few minutes, it was said that there was only broken hands with ornaments and weapons, broken heads and broken bodies, broken chariots, broken wheels, everywhere in the forest. Only sounds of crying and yelling and in pain. They were all crying in pain. and 14,000 army, all soldiers were killed by Lord Ramchandra. From skies, Subhanaka was watching. Then Trishir was killed. All his three heads, which are like mountain peaks, were separated from his body. He fell to the ground. Then Dushana was killed. There was big fight. All the demons were watching. And demigods watching from skies. And the Dushana was killed. Trishira was killed. And then Khar was shocked. But still he was so boasting of his power that he said, all these were foolish demons. They are like foolish children. They don't have any strength. Now you have to confront me. I am not like them. I will finish you, oh human creature. So the big fierce battle. Lots of Divyastras were thrown at each other. And finally Lord Ramchandra severed the head of Khara from his head, from his body. And he fell from this ground, from the chariot on the ground. At that time, there was one demon called Akampan, who was a very brilliant, intelligent personality, who understood that someone in the form of a human being can slay 14,000 soldiers within few minutes, can slay Trishira, and can slay Khar and Dushan, cannot be an ordinary personality. I must go and inform Ravan that this has happened and somebody has come in the forest who has slain your army in Janasthan. So he fled from there, flew from the sky and went to Ravan. And Shurpanakha also realized that this personality, when he is picking up arrow, when he is picking up the bow and when he is shooting the arrow, I can't even see. It's like just wind. And so only circle is seen in the sky. Only arrows are covering the whole skies and creating darkness. So she also ran away. I will take a break now of this story for a few minutes because I am getting hypoglycemic pangs. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Bol.